As you will note from the sermon title, In the Garden of Good and Evil, we're going to be visiting the garden today. So I direct your attention to the scripture. We're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then verses 36 through 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And he answered, An enemy has done this. And the slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let everyone with ears and anyone with ears listen. Having a garden was a good idea at the time, especially in the spring when the weather is cool. The idea of a garden sounds like fun. Just plant and wait for a bountiful harvest. Now, agricultural veterans who are experienced and even master gardeners smile at such romantic naivete. A garden requires more than aspiration. It calls for perspiration, or should I say, hard work and sweat. And no matter how well we plan, there are always unanticipated surprises. Drought, flood, winds, animals. Why, they can transform our vision of paradise into a jungle of mayhem and disappointment. Daydreaming and looking out the window from an air-conditioned summer igloo is very different from going outside and toiling in the heat. Plowing, hoeing, fertilizing, weeding, and even harvesting can be back-breaking, muscle-straining work. Why, it creates a new appreciation when visiting a farmer's market or viewing produce showered in the watery mist neatly stacked in a grocery store. Today's scripture by the master teacher Jesus is straight from the field. Jesus had a way with words and a way of connecting to everyday life and to the everyday life of his hearers. His parable packaged spiritual wisdom with analogies to wheat and weeds, to soils and seeds, and evidenced by the crowds that gathered whenever Jesus spoke, he was a very popular preacher and an insightful instructor to his disciples. The social and spiritual context during those times was one of transition, perhaps like our day. A transition from old to new, a time of division and conflict, and a longing for a new day and a better way leading to wholeness and to hope. Jesus, in touch with the realities of then and now, takes us into a field of wheat and weeds, a garden mix of good and evil. And in this parable, we learn that the planting has been done properly, carefully, not carelessly. They were using good wheat seeds, but something has gone wrong. Let's listen again to the parable as told by Jesus. But let me share with you another translation into a southern dialect by Clarence Jordan in what we call the Cotton Patch Gospels. Then he laid before them another comparison. The God movement is like a man who planted certified seed in his field. Then after everybody had gone to bed, his enemy came and overplanted the wheat with zinzia. And when it all came up and started to grow, the zinzia was clearly present. The farmer's field hands came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you plant certified seed in your field? Then how come the zinzia got in it?" And he replied, "An enemy did that." The field hand asked, "Do you want us to go out and chop it out?" And the farmer said, "No, because you might dig up the wheat with the zinzia. Let them both grow until harvesting. Then I'll say to the harvest workers, gather up the zinzia first and pile it up for burning, and then harvest the wheat and put it in my barn." In drawing this comparison between wheat and weeds, Jesus is teaching us, no matter how hard we strive, bad things happen. Even when the planting has been done carefully and properly, unanticipated and unsettling things happen. An enemy, the evil one, slips under cover of darkness and sowed weeds. The weed was zinzania, darnels, or tares, and the appearance was a mystery to where did this come from? Yet there was no denying it was there. The farmer in this parable apparently was wealthy enough to have servants who came to him with this distressing report. All were shocked with this sad story. Perhaps the workers may have been sharecroppers, and they were very disturbed because this would leave them with a much smaller harvest. What are we to do when bad things happen? Most likely in a state of shock, we can't believe what has occurred. We become anxious and angry and depressed and discouraged. We work so hard, and now this? Life is not fair, we scream. And yet, who said it was? Often we want to rush out and we want to do something, anything to fix it and to make it right. Wisely, the field hands seek the master farmer's counsel. He tells them, "Hold on, wait a minute, or wait a while." In panic, they could rush out and start pulling up weeds. But this is not the time to do that. It would not only get rid of the weeds, but it would also destroy the wheat crop in its growth to maturity. You know, we've all been in such circumstances where people shout, "Don't just stand there, do something." But if you're not sure what to do and unsure of the outcome, of your intervention, it may be best to stand aside and wait. Don't just do something, stand there and wait. And tearing up something in an emotional frenzy may simply compound the problem and multiply the mess. I've learned that in the early stages of their growth, that weeds or tares so closely resemble the wheat that it is nearly impossible to distinguish one from the other. Their roots become intertwined so that the weeds cannot be pulled out without tearing the wheat out with them. Therefore, they must be left to grow together until the time of the harvest. Now, the original hearers of Jesus, being people of the land, understood well the crisis being described by Jesus. Eventually, there will come a time of harvest. Then there'll be no problem distinguishing the weeds from the wheat. And at harvest time, the weeds will be bound up in bundles and it'll be burned for fuel. And in a wood-poor land like Israel, weeds were dried and stored and used for fuel. The good grain, why, that would be gathered into the granary, and in the barn it would be stored until the time it would be milled or ground into flour for bread. Now, following his public presentation, Jesus withdrew with his disciples. They had heard the lesson, but like good students, they had some questions for the teacher. Again, let's hear from the Cotton Patch translation. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. His students gathered around him and said, "Please unravel for us the comparison of the field of Zenzania." And he answered, "The farmer who planted the certified seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the certified seed are the people who do God's will. Then Zenzania are the people who do the will of the evil one. The enemy is the confuser. The harvest is the fruition of the era, and the harvesters are God's messengers. So just as the Zenzania were piled and burned, that's the way it will be at the fruition of the era. The Son of Man will send out his messengers, and they will collect everything in his movement that's offensive, all the criminals, and they'll burn them in a roaring furnace. In there will be a howling and snapping their teeth. Then the just will shine like the sun in their Father's movement." Now, he said, let's percolate that. Perhaps the first thing we learn is to follow the example of the disciples. If you're not sure what something means, spend some time with the Lord. Retreat from the noise of the crowd. Tune out the distractions. Be still and listen to the Lord and experiencing His enlightening and comforting presence. Here Jesus offers an in-house explanation for his disciples. They had questions. They didn't fully understand what he was saying. And he explains this parable as an ancient allegory. The Son of Man is the sower. The field is the world. The good seeds planted are the people of God. The weeds are darnel of the people of the evil one. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels of God. The weeds are not pulled up and thrown into the fire until the end of the age. The dominion of the Son of Man is said to be in the world, and it is He who sends His angels to do the weeding out. All that scandalizes and those who sin are weeded out and thrown into the fiery furnace, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Evil then will be eliminated, and that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their heavenly Father. the heartfelt petition and plea of the faithful, as in the Lord's Prayer, then will be realized. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may remember the book and the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Beginning back in 1994, the book and later the movie in 1997 brought a lot of attention to Savannah, Georgia. In an imaginative manner, John Berendt described the beauty and the bizarre, the mossy wonder, and the voodoo weird of that coastal city. The city portrayed in the book brings a smile to the promoters of tourism, while for the preservers of tradition and the protectors of place, they shake their head and say the book is a caricature. For the cultured ladies and gentlemen of society, this fiction is unworthy and the subject of private disdain and open disgust. From the discerning eye of an outsider, Savannah is described as a class-conscious, gossipy, mannered, and moneyed, and soaked to its soul in the finest of distilled spirits. Savannah was, and still is, described as the garden of good and evil. Unfortunately, the title, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, has a lot of competition, both across the ages and across the landscape of contemporary society. You know, it seems like we too are living in a dark time, devoid of light, amidst rejectors of righteousness and celebrations of misunderstanding. Life for all too many is a mixed bag of good and evil. There are bipolar wars of piety and the profane, with conflicts and confusion here and there and everywhere. Now, patience may not be one of your virtues. It may be one of the virtues that we need to cultivate. I remember as a youngster, I wanted to plant a garden. Now, being a child in the city, since I was raised in Washington, D.C., a place for a garden was not readily available. Yet in the backyard of our three-story walk-up apartment building, I appropriated a small plot of ground for my victory garden. That's what we called them back in World War II. Several neighbors were really upset that a child was messing up our shared backyard. I persisted despite the adult protests. I carefully planted radish seeds. Perhaps I had learned at school that radishes have a fast harvest cycle and are a popular choice for a child's garden. However, my learning had a way to go. After several days, I was frustrated. Still, no radishes. I kept digging up sprouts one at a time. You see, as a child, I didn't know and could not patiently wait for the harvest. Let us claim the promise of patiently waiting and waiting for the Lord. In God's good time, there will be a harvest, and our sacred duty is to trust and to wait in God's good timetable. And that is God's timetable and not ours that really matters. We hear the prophet speak in Isaiah, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Lord, it is true that our lives are a mixture of weeds and good seeds. The weeds choke us and limit our ability to respond. We admire the good seeds and we want to nourish them. When the harvest comes, we know that the good will be kept and all else will be judged unfit. Christ, have mercy upon us as we learn your will and follow your way. Give us guidance and determination as we faithfully obey your command. Forgive us for our misplaced allegiances when we settle for weeds. May we broadcast the landscape of your world with the good seeds of your word is our hope and our heartfelt prayer. Amen. Let us continue in worship as we sing together our closing hymn, hymn number 344, as our hymn of invitation, Grace Greater Than Our Sins, hymn 344.